Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, right now, we are giving away $200 in slot play to Sasquatch Casino up in Blackhawk. First four callers are going to get $50 each. If you have won in the past, you are not eligible to win again. While you're up there, you can check out their latest giveaway. They're giving away an autograph by Vaughn Gittin 700 horsepower Mustang RTR. If you don't want it, they're going to give you nearly $28,000 in cash instead. How do you like that? I mean, you want the car, you want the cash, you can't have both. Either option is outstanding. Grand prize drawing September 25th and September 26th. Give us a call, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Okay, Mace, Von Miller. We talked about this briefly yesterday. We really didn't dive into it. I felt today would be a good time to dive into it. Told Teddy Bridgewater on the sidelines during the Giants game, quote, "I haven't felt like this in a while since 18 was here," talking about Peyton Manning. Those little pep talks go a long way. Vaughn is referring to Bridgewater's pregame speech. How much does this validate Vic Fangio's decision to start Bridgewater?
Massively. Because it's not just quarterback play on field, throwing the ball, everything you're looking for. You're looking for leadership. You're looking for presence. You're looking for somebody the locker room could rally around. And maybe it was an experience. Maybe it was personality. Maybe it was other things. Drew Lock was not trending in that direction of being that kind of being that guy. And Teddy Bridgewater, that's the thing he does really well.
I'm not trying to suggest that Locke isn't a leader, but is it fair to say that he doesn't inspire like Bridgewater?
He does. He could learn a lot by watching Teddy Bridgewater.
And he has said he has learned a lot from watching Teddy Bridgewater. That's a good thing.
But it comes naturally for Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
This is just, it's who he is. And he can learn a lot by mimicking and doing, but I said this about Teddy Bridgewater. He makes up for not having the strongest arm compared to other NFL quarterbacks by being top shelf in a lot of areas that are considered intangible, like pre-snap reads, understanding the scheme and everybody's role in it, emotional intelligence. It's not just leading. It's knowing what his teammates need. There were a few moments that you saw in training camp when Garrett Bowles looked like he was about to get out of control, when he did get out of control, the guy who was calming him down was Teddy Bridgewater.
What I'm about to say is not an apples to apples, but it is apples to oranges. And what I mean by that is it's still in the fruit family. It's still in the fruit family. This story has become urban legend, and I can tell you with 100% certainty it is true. Because the guy who allegedly said it told me that he did. When I covered Joe Montana, when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs, I asked him specifically on the side, is the story true in the Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals the second time around when the 49ers were down, I think it was something like 16-13, and the 49ers were driving on what turned out to be their final big drive of the game, and they needed a touchdown to win the game. And Joe Montana, Joe Cool, calmly walks into the huddle and said, hey, did you see John Candy is in the stands? And that calmed everybody down.
And 92 yards later, it's not just the quarterback. Sometimes somebody else. It's Keith Bishop in the huddle for the Broncos in the AFC Championship game, January 87, saying we got him right where we want him.
I would like
calms to, everybody down.
I would like to know what Teddy Bridgewater said to his teammates on the sidelines after Okwuegbunam fumbled the ball. Mm-hmm. I would like to know what Teddy Bridgewater said to his teammates in the huddle after Hamler dropped what should have been an easy touchdown. No, it wasn't. Look, John Candy is in the stands, but it was certainly strong enough to put some calm over a situation that could have been very stressful as a team that hasn't had a winning record in a long time starts thinking, here we go again.
Yeah, I thought in particular, because it was immediate, that they didn't go to the sideline. In particular, I thought the way that they bounced back after KJ Hamler's drop. They had 2nd and 10. You know, 2nd and 10 last year would have meant, okay, they're probably going to punt and then gradually fall into a hole. Melvin Gordon gets 6 yards. They get the third down conversion right after that. You don't get the sense from Teddy Bridgewater that they're ever at the brink of disaster.
Give me a sport that you were good at growing up.
Good? I mean, I played a lot of sports. I can't really say I was good at it.
Give me something that you were
good at. I could shoot free throws. And I was a good outside shooter shooting basketball.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you step to the line in a game and you hit 10 in a row, mm-hmm. you're feeling pretty good about yourself that 11th time. Is that fair to say? Generally speaking.
Generally, but at the same time, I'm thinking the odds are I'm probably going to miss one here.
Well, then, okay, then you're Schleprock where we're doomed. We'll never make it.
No, I'm not
most
that. Most people are feeling good. I'm always conscious of percentages.
Okay.
That's why.
Well, maybe you think too much, and maybe that's why you missed that 11th free throw. My point is, most people, when things are going well, they feel confident, and they build on that stuff. This game was important for more than just a win. The next time the Broncos go for it on fourth down, they're going to feel like, oh, we got this because we did it the last time. And even if they don't get it, they're still going to feel confident when they go for it again because they'll think, hey, we did it in the Giants game. That kind of stuff builds.
Whereas last year, they start off by not converting a 4th and 1 in week 1.
Right.
Then they don't convert a 4th and short in week 2.
You lose confidence, and here we go again.
And all of a sudden, you lose confidence. The coaches lose confidence, which is why Brent McManus is going out there for 15 field goal attempts of 50-plus yards. You don't have that scenario where you're kind of in no man's land if you got 4th and 4, 4th and 5, and you're saying, hey, let's go for it. Let's see what you can do. Now, I think it'll be interesting to see if the Broncos are between the 35-yard line and the 45-yard line, and they have 4th and intermediate like they did Sunday against the Giants, and if they decide to go for it. I think we'll see. You know, we talked about how Brandon McManus might clean up if Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback, and certainly McManus had 9 points on Sunday, so that's a pretty good game. But is it possible that maybe he doesn't have quite as many field goal attempts because Vic Fangio looks at Teddy Bridgewater, looks at the confidence of this offense, and says, hey, we got 4th and 5 from the 38-yard line. Let's not go for the 56-yard kick. Let's go see if we can move the chains.
It's certainly situational. I remember the Lockheads saying during the preseason, oh, Fangio went for it on 4th down, and that would never happen during the regular season.
He did it with both quarterbacks, though.
Well, specifically one time with Locke when he threw to the end zone, yes.
4th and 2, yeah.
But he did it more with Teddy Bridgewater, and people said that's not going to happen in a regular season game. If we're being completely honest, if Bridgewater and Fangio go 0-for-3, the Broncos quite possibly lose that game because they got 17 points out of going for it on 4th down.
Yeah.
They got 17 points out of it.
My guess is, though,
those are just building blocks to confidence when you're in that situation.
Again. My guess is, though, if they failed on those first 2 4th downs, I don't think they would have gone for it the 3rd time.
You might very well be right.
I think they would have kicked there on 4th and 1 because there wouldn't have been the confidence.
Coming up after the break, it was the show of shows for those that actually knew it was on the air, because the ratings suggest Eli and Peyton bombed, which I don't think they did, because, you know, their analysis on ESPN2 was the talk of Twitter.
Seinfeld got a low rating first time it came on.
Here's the question. Are you going to watch a Broncos game while those two guys are talking, or do you only want to watch them when it's a game that you want to watch, but you really want the analysis? If you really, 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 really want to watch the Broncos game, are you watching Peyton and Eli? That's next.
You are a superstar.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to RMFP.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Eurosport. Go for a test drive today in Denver or Parker, because everyone deserves a luxury car buying experience. Or find them online at rmeurosport.com.
All right, what'd you think of Peyton and Eli Manning last night as a secondary broadcast? Because I can tell you right now, the ratings were terrible. They got a 0.6 and a 1 share, and the actual broadcast of the game got an 11. Got an 11.
And a 24 share. So basically 24 viewers for every of the actual game broadcast for every one that watched.
Why do you think that is? Because I have a theory.
A couple of things. First of all, a friend of mine who covers the Panthers, Darren Gann, I'm going to give him credit for this. He tweeted about this and said that it's not that it isn't a good broadcast, but it requires you to concentrate. In other words, you can't have it on in the background. You've got to watch it to kind of keep up with what's going on.
Sure.
And it hit me when I got up to go make dinner in the kitchen, and I kept the Manning broadcast on, and I had no clue what was going on. So I stopped what I was doing in the kitchen, went back in the living room, changed it to the ESPN broadcast, and then went back to it. And so a lot of, if you can't sit down and pay attention to it and watch it, you're going to be in the soup. And you can't keep up. And so I think that's going to limit the audience right then and there to just people who have to concentrate on it and people who are interested in the details of football, which that's not as large and that is nowhere near the audience as people who just want to watch the game and be entertained.
Do you watch a lot of ESPN?
I watch games on ESPN. I don't watch a lot of talking head stuff.
Okay. In the last week, how much ESPN did you watch?
I mean, I watched a few football. I watched Monday Night Football. I watched.
I'm not talking about yesterday. Go back a week.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm going back. I'm starting there. I watched some. I had the U.S. Open matches on. I had college football on. I had a baseball
on
game
ESPN.
On ESPN.
Okay, let me ask you something.
But it wasn't something I was actively watching.
Let me ask you, how much do they promote the Mannings during those telecast during those games?
Again, I'm the wrong person to ask because I only had
Danny,
on the
did
background.
Did you watch ESPN much over the last week?
Yeah, I watched a good amount.
How much did they promote
week,
those two
and
guys?
And I honestly, last night, I had forgotten that they were even doing the Eli and Peyton broadcast.
Ding, ding, ding.
You think maybe that's what they wanted? Because kind of to have the beta test that not many people were watching, perhaps?
I have no idea. What I do know is this. I woke up yesterday morning thinking, oh, yeah, those two guys are doing it. I didn't see any type of promotion. It's not to suggest that they didn't promote it. But at the end of the day, I didn't even remember it until the morning, which was yesterday morning. And I do this for a living. I'd totally forgotten about it. I think that's one big reason why. Now that this has caught Twitter by fire, I think you're going to see this jump with that. If you were not traveling to a Broncos game, or you were watching a game from home and it was Monday Night Football and the Broncos don't have a Monday Night game this year, which is a shame because I would love to hear Peyton Manning comment on the Broncos.
I'll tell you what, I think with this broadcast, there was a missed opportunity because Broncos, Giants, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, their teams, I think that would have been an all-time broadcast, those two doing that specific matchup.
Yeah, but you don't tailor-make games around a .6 rating.
No, you don't, but I'm just saying that would have been a great broadcast.
I say this with all due respect to our friend Mark Schlereth. He's not one of the top three broadcast teams right now, and that's why he got that game, and that's why ESPN didn't want it. That's why they didn't want it. If the Raiders and Baltimore would have been at least one of the top three broadcast teams. Because it's the Raiders, because it's a home game, first game in Las Vegas where fans can actually go, and you have Lamar Jackson.
But I mean, Monday Night Football this year, I mean, they've got some matchups that aren't.
I'm talking great. About the first one out of the gate.
Yeah,
Broncos Giants. I don't think a lot of fans will watch.
I'm saying they could have had Broncos Giants another week. Why couldn't that have been Monday Night Football? In week four when it's Raiders Chargers.
You know what? I don't do the schedule. We don't need to play the what if game. A friend of mine who's an attorney says I don't deal in what ifs. But yes, it would have been cool if both the Mannings did that game. I'm with you on that. So let's say it's a Monday night game. The Broncos are on. And you are not going to the game and you're watching the game on TV. You watching the broadcast or you watching the Mannings?
Watching the Mannings.
Oh, I'm watching the broadcast.
I'm watching the Mannings because I think what Peyton Manning has to say about the Broncos is more relevant and interesting than anything I'm going to hear on the broadcast.
Okay. I will tell you how I would watch it. I'd watch the game first, no doubt, because it's all about the game.
But you can watch the game on the broadcast.
It's window dressing. It's window dressing.
If you have a big TV and I have a big TV,
Are you overcompensating for something?
Stop. Oh, God. Why do you always have to take it? Why do you always have to get weird like that?
My TV is larger than your TV.
That's. I'm just saying. I have a big.
Way.
I have a big screen like and big. Yeah, I have a big screen and I thought that the size of the game broadcast window was fine.
I'm saying from my perspective as I watched it. The game was window dressing to Manning and Eli and whichever guest they had on, whether it was Ray Lewis or it was Travis Kelce or it was Russell Wilson. And there were more than a few times they were not even talking about the game. Sometimes they did, but a lot of times they didn't.
Which is why if you get up and you can't concentrate and you have something else going on, it's not a broadcast for you because you lose track of what's going on in the game.
I'm saying if you gotta watch this game and you're taking notes like you would do and I would do, I'm talking about from a media perspective, not a fan perspective. So what I'm saying is for me, I would watch the game first to get the actual play-by-play analysis of it. And then for fun, next morning, I'm watching the Mannings because then I want another perspective, but I'm not watching the Mannings first.
See, I for a Bronco game, I disagree because I could get enough watching what was on, watching the big part of the screen that had the game. I could get enough seeing that to where it wouldn't throw me off track.
Okay, so we had different perspectives.
Yes.
For me, the Mannings were the primary focus of that broadcast. To you, the game was the primary focus. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, because because they're talking about what kind of coverage. They're talking about what Derek Carr, what Derek Carr should do.
But they're
pre-snap.
Not doing it throughout the game. That's fine. Danny, did you watch any of that last night?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I was here until the third quarter, and I had the other broadcast on because, like I said, I had forgotten about it.
Right.
But once I got home and I was watching them and they were talking to Russell Wilson, I really enjoyed that.
That's when it hit another level. In the fourth quarter, when they brought Russ in and...
Russ, it's like you guys Russ are Wilson, friends. Like you guys are friends.
When they brought Russell Wilson, can you stop driving me off track when I'm trying to make a point? Please,
It's fun.
It's fun for you.
It's fun for me.
I say that to my wife, like, oh, it's fun. It's fun for you. It's not fun for me. Yeah, and I'm concerned about what's fun for me, but I digress. That's when it went to another level.
Sure.
In terms of identifying identifying things of what Lamar Jackson should be doing, what Derek Carr should be doing, and you know, Russ kept talking about how he had to go watch film, but he didn't want to leave, and it was strange. Like at that point, Eli Manning kind of became an afterthought.
He did. He was kind of silent.
And
except for when he talked about the hard count,
yes,
with Derek Carr, he couldn't have been any more spot on.
Right. But I thought to myself, I thought the Peyton and Eli broadcast was great. I would have listened to Peyton and Russell Wilson talk about any game. Those two, because those two, they're on such a high level in terms of football IQ.
Right.
That it was like going to a doctoral level thesis in football.
To me,
listening to them speak.
Okay, to me, I would say they probably spent, for the amount of time that I watched it, 70% of the time, and I think I'm being generously high, so I'll go 65%. 65% of the time actually talking about the game. I mean, there Manning times was talking about his time at Tennessee, which was beyond entertaining. Well, I'm saying it was entertaining.
But
I'm saying if I need to watch this game and I have to digest every part of this game, when people ask me about Broncos games, I say to them, I study all day on Sunday. I got to watch this game. When people watch games with me, I say to them, I'm not talkative during these games. I am taking notes throughout the entire game. I am on Twitter during the game, and I'm listening intently to the game. Sunday is my study day for 3 hours, and I have to be totally focused because you know why? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those are test days.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to pass those tests on the show. I don't know. I'd be able to get some different information watching the Mannings, but I don't think I'd be able to get it at a level where I can actually see it for myself. Danny, when you watched it, what percentage would you say they were actually talking about the game? Am I too high? Am I too low at 65%?
No, I think that's pretty accurate.
And they were entertaining as hell.
Yeah, there was a lot of general football stuff as well, but it did, I think when I was watching it, it was shaded a little more towards what was going on because it was a close game and it was towards the end. So I don't know about earlier on in the broadcast.
Yeah, earlier on there wasn't that same emphasis. Like when they had Charles Barkley on, it was good,
right?
But it was more general stuff. So the guest kind of matters. So when it's Charles Barkley, it's not going to be as game-centric. When it's Russell Wilson or Ray Lewis, it was fairly game-centric with Ray Lewis on there, too.
I'm not suggesting that you are cherry-picking, but at the end of the game with Russell Wilson, that thing was so crazy. And how that thing was unfolding, they didn't have time to joke around. They were talking about the game. And, you know, a field goal, whoops. Maybe our field goal kicker should not be on the field because, as Eli Manning said, what are you doing, icing your own kicker? That was a great point. But the whole game was not just Russell Wilson. To your point, you're watching a Broncos game, and you're saying you're going to watch the Mannings. You really want to sit through Charles Barkley?
Honestly, during that part of the game, I would probably watch the regular broadcast.
But how do you know when to tune back?
You flip back and forth, and you have these things called channel changers
that allow you to go back and forth and see what you're flipping between players.
Or you know what? You've got your iPad. You have another screen. You can monitor what's going on. Amazingly, we have the technology to watch more than one thing at the same time.
Well, clearly, I don't have that type of money with all those devices.
Do you have a laptop and a television, right?
I do, but I'm not that tech
savvy. Then you can do it.
You can do it. You can do it.
As was said in the water bar, you can do it.
Do it.
You can do it.
Do it. Anyway.
Just do it, as Nike would say.
It was very, very entertaining. By the way, quick side note. Broncos had a chance to draft Russell Wilson. How much fun would it be to sit in that quarterback room?
Oh, my gosh. Like, when I was listening to Peyton and Russell Wilson talk.
You can do it!
Yes, there we go. I always feel these pangs of regret for the Broncos that they decided that the height factor was the most important thing and they picked Brock Osweiler instead of Russell Wilson.
He's tall.
But it kind of hit me again last night because the two of them are just on the same level that if they had picked Russell Wilson, we were really robbed of what would have been the smoothest quarterback transition since Brett Favre became Aaron Rodgers, since Joe Montana became Steve Young. That's what you would have had around here. Would have changed everything.
Come on, Mace. How in the world can you have an offense when you have a quarterback who's 6'4" and the other one's 5'11"? I mean, I'm with Elway. That doesn't make any sense at all.
It made me sad.
Measurables.
It made me sad all over again. Right. And Russell Wilson had every measurable but height. He had speed. He had velocity. He had accuracy. Quickness of the delivery. He had that. Unfortunately, they decided that was a deal breaker. Whereas I would decide that something like ability to run an offense is a deal breaker. But what do I know?
Coming up after, you know a lot, and you certainly know how to operate multiple devices at the same time.
Thank you. I've
just learned. Coming up after the break, Ronald Darby, he's out. Jerry Jeudy, he's out. How is Darby being out going to affect Pat Surtain in his role? And who's going to be the fourth cornerback on this team? Maybe it's George Payton who needs to be calling other teams and saying, do you have somebody available? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew. We are always
running for the thrill of it. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
So it seemed like the Broncos had an embarrassment of riches at the cornerback position. And as it turns out, it was a four-legged table that they had. And now it seems like they have a three-legged table, because who is going to be the fourth leg for that table with Darby out?
Probably Nate Hairston. Nate Hairston, who was on the practice squad and has been promoted. They promoted two guys today,
right,
because of the injury. So Nate Hairston was one. Kendall Hinton, who everybody knows,
yep,
had to play quarterback last year. He was promoted to fill the wide receiver void. But you have Kerry Vincent Jr., a rookie, who's also in that mix, and he's on the roster. He was inactive on Sunday. But the thing is, Vincent projects as a slot corner.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Bryce Callahan for that. Basically, if Callahan gets hurt, all of a sudden you're going to see Kerry Vincent Jr. a heck of a lot more. Until that happens, and if that doesn't happen, knock on wood, it's great for the Broncos. But if that doesn't happen, you won't see Vincent. Right now, it's Nate Hairston. Now, a month from now, you're hoping it's probably a Sang Bassey, Michael Ojemudia, when Ojemudia is off of IR and Bassey is off of the pup list. But for now, they're compromised a little bit.
They are.
They actually brought back Rogestriman Ferris to the practice squad, who picked off both Locke and Bridgewater in camp.
Right.
But there wasn't a spot for Rogestriman on the roster, man. But now there is, at least on the practice squad.
Well, here's the other question. Vic Fangio said, I've given Surtain a lot of information, and I'm paraphrasing here, maybe I've stunted his growth a little bit by trying to teach him too much by playing three different positions. I'm not suggesting he's not ready to play outside corner, but he hasn't concentrated there enough that you can make the case he should be stepping on the field right now. He's good enough to step on the field. He's a terrific player, and his football IQ is really, really high.
They gave him that series in the second quarter for a reason.
Right.
But then they didn't. They were going to give him a series in the second half, and that didn't pan out. In part because it was a rough possession for him when he was out there.
Right.
So I mean, the bottom line is until the last play of the game, the only touchdown the Broncos gave up, the only explosive play they gave up was at Patrick Surtain's expense.
Right. You feel good?
About the corner position?
Well, then again, let me
rephrase. I feel fine for this game. I feel fine
for the next game.
For the Jets game. But you look at the Ravens, and you could see it last night.
I feel fine for the Ravens game, too.
You do.
You need to contain Lamar Jackson.
But, you know, Hollywood Brown is explosive, and then Mark Andrews, all of a sudden you're not having Pat Surtain covering tight ends if he's playing outside. Well,
hold on a second.
Mark Andrews playing tight end against Justin Strnad, that could be something that works out better for the Ravens.
Well, wait. Who else really scares you on the Ravens roster when it comes to wide receivers besides Hollywood Brown and Andrews? Anybody? It's because I remember John Harbaugh.
Watkins doesn't scare. He's capable, and he made plays last night.
Yep.
He doesn't scare you, but he can beat you.
Yeah.
Marquise Hollywood Brown, he scares you because of his speed.
Well, that's where Fuller plays, right? Put Fuller on
and
him.
And Fuller had a PI penalty on Sunday.
Okay. And Fuller's also an All-Pro.
He was an All-Pro 3 years ago, yes.
Okay, and he's been a Pro Bowler. I'm not overly worried about one PI against a guy in the Giants game.
The thing that actually worries me the worry in the Ravens for me is the chain reaction that happens because Pat Surtain is outside and not on Mark Andrews.
Fuller,
I would have liked that was a yes. game. I wanted to see that for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that Surtain did a good job when he was asked to cover Kyle Rudolph on Sunday. And Rudolph, he's not Evan Engram, but Rudolph is a savvy guy who finds ways to get open, and he wasn't getting open against Surtain.
Outside of Von Miller and maybe Draymond Jones, can you really sell me that Kyle Fuller wasn't the third best defensive player on the field against the Giants, because even though he had a PI?
Justin Simmons.
What impact plays did he make?
It's not about impact.
He was on the field.
Yeah, he was on. He didn't have an impact per se, but his presence.
Kyle Fuller
makes you throw away from him.
Kyle Fuller had an impact on the game.
Josie Jewell had an impact. I would say Josie Jewell probably. Yet on Sunday, I would put him ahead of Kyle Fuller. Josie Jewell forced a fumble. Josie Jewell was also in the right place on a lot of runs. He was doing a great job reading the Giants' run game to the point where he was getting to the hole so quickly that you saw Giants running backs kind of change the direction they were going in because Jewell had closed and read it so well. I thought Josie had a great game. Sunday.
He played very well, no question about it. And Fuller had a PI. He also broke up two passes. Right? I thought he was terrific. Just terrific. And Draymond Jones doesn't show up in the box score, but he was terrific as well. Kyle Fuller was the best cornerback on. He was the best defensive back for the Broncos. I'll say that.
Best cornerback.
What did Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson do? You can't just say
safety. It's not. Sometimes it's about you're not necessarily making plays that get in the box score, but just your presence is forcing teams to adapt. And that's what Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson do.
Well, then I guess you'll have to say that every week that they have an impact.
And as long as they're not making a mistake.
I love me some Justin Simmons. I do. But he's not Lawrence Taylor where you are game planning for him. He's not. And neither is Kareem Jackson. Von Miller you game plan for. And you don't game plan for Kyle Fuller or Josie Jewell.
See, I think you actually are game planning for Justin Simmons because he makes so many plays on the ball. And the thing that you are trying to avoid most is turnovers. And if you throw the ball in Justin Simmons' vicinity, there's a good chance he can come down with it and make a pick. The thing that really screws you up.
When Surtain missed that tackle, where was the safety help on that?
It was late coming over. But you also
and who was late coming over?
I don't remember.
Well, it was one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess they didn't have. Then I guess that's a negative play.
But you're also relying on the cornerback to take care of that area. He didn't do it. They were trusting Surtain when he was playing left cornerback. They were trusting him to handle coverage on his man.
Well, I got news for you. If you're trusting a rookie in his first game with no help, then you're a fool.
Well, you're trying to find out what he's got, too.
No, you never put a rookie cornerback, I don't care how good he is, even Deion Sanders, on an island in his first game. That's dumb. Do you think that's good strategy, putting a rookie in his first game with no help against a speedy wide receiver? Is that smart defensive strategy? No, and I don't think Vic Fangio planned it that way. It was probably a breakdown with one of the safeties, and they have two great safeties and arguably one of the top five safety tandems in the league. But that was a busted play by one of the safeties.
So you're blaming them instead of the guy that lost the receiver in coverage and then missed the tackle?
The guy who missed the tackle, that's the guy who missed the play. But you need to have some help, and you help out a rookie cornerback. Don't you?
Unless you've seen enough in practice where you say, okay, I think he can handle it. Obviously, on that play, he couldn't.
Oh, that was foolish then. No safety help on him?
It didn't cost him the game. Again, you're finding out what he's got. Part of this is also you're trying to find out the limits of your players. You're trying to find out what you can do, what you can trust him with. I think you found out a little bit that Pat Surtain's going to have to learn from. That's okay.
Especially when you have said publicly, I don't know if he's really ready to play one position specifically because I've overloaded him with information and I've probably done him a disservice. And he's a rookie in his first game. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Put him out on an island. Yes, that's brilliant. And Vic Fangio is a great defensive coordinator. One of the safeties didn't give help.
Nobody's perfect as a coordinator.
What I'm saying is Simmons is terrific. So is Kareem Jackson. Just because they're on the field doesn't mean teams are game planning for them. And I didn't see Justin Simmons make a difference in the game. Josie Jewell did. I'm with you on that. Sometimes
the difference you make is by taking away part of a field. That's what, Champ Bailey would have great games because he'd take a receiver out and sometimes
safeties
he wouldn't
do
see
that.
The ball.
Cornerbacks do. Safeties don't do
but
that.
But when you're talking, about zone covers like the Broncos run, sometimes you're saying, okay, 31's in that area. We're not going to test him because he is one of the best safeties in this game at making plays on the ball. And if we throw in that area, there's a decent chance
it comes back in the other
direction. Do you have
the all-22?
Not in front of me right now, no.
Okay. If you can, if you have it, maybe you don't. Let's look it up. Let's see what happened on that play, because I would love to see what happened on that play. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has done something that his father didn't do in his whole career, and he's only 22 years old. What is it? That's on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. At Mays Denver. At Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, a sad day today in the world of entertainment as comedian and SNL alum Norm MacDonald passed away.
He did?
At 61.
He did?
Yes. Yeah. After a years-long private battle with cancer. Hmm. MacDonald's impact on entertainment very widespread, but from late night show appearances to films and, of course, SNL. Who are some of your favorite SNL cast members?
Norm is up there for me, and I think just to kind of keep the focus on him today, I mean, the underrated one, everyone knows about Burt Reynolds on the Celebrity Jeopardy sketches in the 90s.
Okay.
When Norm would play Burt Reynolds, right, or as some he sometimes go, Turd Ferguson. I always got a kick out of whatever he would do, Larry King impressions.
Hello.
And he did that perfectly, the point where he actually hosted the Larry King show interviewing Larry King.
Right.
And the two of them were wearing the same exact thing, but he had kind of that clipped, brusque delivery down pat.
I mean, it's easy to go with John Belushi and Eddie Murphy and Will Ferrell. I thought Phil Hartman was absolutely genius when he did different characters and his voices. Colin Blow might be the greatest commercial ever on Saturday Night Live.
See, like, he did the commercials so well. The one that I love is the one that he... Remember when the Yugo and the Hyundai first came out, and the Yugo was like $29.95 and the Hyundai was $39.95? Well, he did one, like, he's like, hey, they're both good cars if you've got $3,000 or $4,000 sitting around. But if your last name doesn't have to be Rockefeller, we've got something for you. And it was called the Adobe. A car that was made out of the little car made out of clay that broke the $200 barrier. It's like, you could buy a cheaper car, but I wouldn't recommend it. He had that kind of smarmy sales thing down pat, and he was so versatile. Right. Remember, he did the Bill Clinton impression, of course. That was one of his best.
I don't know what you're talking about. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And then Phil Hartman, then he goes on and became a staple on The Simpsons doing, you know, ethically challenged characters like like Troy McClure, the actor, the lawyer Lionel Hutz,
right,
and that was his wheelhouse. He was able to do smarmy so well, and Phil Hartman is as good as it ever been on that show. But Norm Macdonald's right up there too. Maybe probably my favorite Weekend Update host was Norm Macdonald.
He was really good.
Yeah. And he got forced out, apparently, because he was making too many bad statements about O.J. Simpson.
Who would ever say something bad about O.J. Simpson?
Not me. Just in case you missed it, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. passes Shohei Ohtani on the season-long home run list. And he also broke his father's single-season career high with his 45th home run of the year last night. He trails Joe DiMaggio by one and Eddie Matthews by two for the most in a season by a player 22 years old or younger. Will we see a 50 home run season this year from a player, or maybe more than one?
Let me say this. For as great as Guerrero is, and he's tremendous, how did he pitch in his last outing? And that's all you need to say. How did he pitch?
Well, this question's just about the batting.
Yeah.
Right now, you got Ohtani at 44, Salvador Perez 42, Vladimir Guerrero 45. I think we'll see one 50 home run guy. And it'll probably be Vlad.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, over the last 6-7 weeks, we've had a lot of hail here in Centennial. I was playing golf up in Brighton over the weekend. We got hail on the 18th hole. We had to scramble off the course. Westminster got hammered on August 19th. What should you do if your roof gets damaged? My suggestion, go with Masterpiece Roofing, recently voted Denver's best roofing company. They've been around for over 12 years, and they are as good as it gets. Their customers love them. Over 100 five-star Google reviews, and they just don't repair roofs. They replace them, and they're going to get your insurance company to pay for your roof. They specialize in that stuff. You are not alone when you are working with Masterpiece Roofing. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Alex and Danny, great job today. Same with you, Mace. It's hump day tomorrow.
Hump day. Over the hump.
Hump day!
It's also when we'll hear from Teddy Bridgewater.
Ooh.
Having his press conference, which will always have one of his opening statements. Teddy Bridgewater gives great opening statements.
Yeah.
It's very much like a coach.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Make it the best possible night you can. The horses are coming, so